"Your Majesty," the foundry owner said, bowing respectfully.
"Serik."
Gorja acknowledged the courtesy with a nod, then waved for the older man to straighten up once more. Farman obeyed the gesture, and Gorja leaned back in his oversized chair.
"Tell me," the king said, "to what do I owe the pleasure of your company this morning?"
"First, your majesty, let me thank you for agreeing to see me. I realize I made the request for an audience on rather short notice."
Gorja's left hand made a waving away motion, and Farman dipped his head slightly to acknowledge the king's graciousness.
"Second, your majesty," Farman continued, "I've come to invite you to join Baron Whiteford at the foundry in a couple of days, Tuesday, I think, for the proof firing of our latest attempt to produce a satisfactory 36-pounder.
The Iron Master's lips twitched a bit sourly.
"I hope this one will go a little better than the last. Having said that, though, I'm not about to let you or Baron Whiteford get anywhere near the thing when it's actually loaded, your majesty."
"I'm sure Queen Mael will appreciate that," Gorja murmured with a slight whimsical smile.
"I always try to stay on the Queen's good side, your majesty," Farman assured him,
and there was a gleam of answering humor in his gray eyes.
"A wise decision, trust me," Gorja replied. Then he cocked his head. "And were those your only reasons for asking to see me this morning?"
His tone was still pleasant, yet it carried a distinct edge of hardness as well. Not anger, but an indication that he was fairly certain those weren't the only reasons for Farman's request, and a suggestion the foundry owner get on to his other, and presumably more important, motivations.
"No, Your Highness," Farman acknowledged,
and his tone had shifted a bit as well. In fact, to Gorsha's surprise, it had taken on a hint of tentativeness. That wasn't the exact word the king was looking for, and he knew it, but it came closer to anything else he could think of. The foundry owner paused. One might almost have said he hesitated for an instant, then shrugged ever so slightly.
"As I'm sure you know, Your Majesty," he went on then a bit obliquely, "I was originally trained in Karis. Over the years, I've done quite a bit of business with Karizian manufactories as well. Or perhaps I should say that I did do quite a bit of business with them before the present unpleasantness."
He paused again, watching the king's expression, and Gorja nodded.
"Of course I'm aware of all that, Sir Rick," he said just a little impatiently. "And you're scarcely alone in having had financial relationships, or for that matter personal relationships, with Karis. I don't imagine there's anyone involved in our current building programs who didn't, if that's what you're concerned about."
"I'm not concerned about it precisely, Your Majesty, but it does have a certain bearing on the reason I asked to see you this morning."
Farman looked at the king levelly.
"It happens, Your Majesty, that a letter was recently delivered to me by someone who, alas, I suspect acquired it from a Karizian smuggler."
Gorja's eyebrows rose, and Farman coughed delicately into a raised hand.
"I don't say he acquired it directly from a smuggler, Your Majesty," he said then. "I only say I believe that was how the letter in question originally entered the kingdom. It was, however, addressed to me, which, as I'm sure Your Majesty will appreciate, caused me quite a bit of anxiety."
He shrugged again.
"My first thought was to deliver it directly to Father Franklin, although I will readily confess to Your Majesty that I wasn't at all happy about the prospect of directing the Inquisition's attention to the man who had handed me the letter."
"Well, I'm not surprised to hear that, Sir Rick," Gorja thought dryly. "And not simply because you didn't want to get the other fellow, whoever he may be, into trouble. Oh, I'll do you the courtesy of believing you thought about that, but I'm certain keeping yourself out of the Inquisition's sights wasn't exactly a minor factor in your decision not to go pestering the Intendant as well."
But Farman wasn't quite finished yet.
Nor was I happy about the prospect of directing the Inquisition's attention to the addressee of the letter which was enclosed in the one to me, the older man went on. Because that addressee, Your Majesty, was you.
Gorja's eyes went wide and he leaned forward in his chair.
I beg your pardon, he said in a very careful tone, and Farman smiled humorlessly.
That was rather my own reaction, Your Majesty. I opened my own letter only because I've known the man who sent it to me for so long, and because, frankly, I wanted to judge the extent to which it might compromise me in the Inquisition's eyes.
He made the admission calmly.
So far as I was aware, I'd done or said nothing which might have created a legitimate problem for me, but one can never be too careful about things like that in times like these.
He held the king's gaze unflinchingly, and Gorja nodded slowly as the other man's implications sank in. The king could think of quite a few possible consequences of the Inquisition's discovering that anyone in Caris was addressing correspondence directly to him as well. Oddly enough, not one of those consequences would have been pleasant.
Once I found the enclosure, Farman continued, I seriously considered burning both letters. On more mature consideration, however, I realized I had no way of knowing if additional letters would be sent if this one didn't produce whatever outcome its sender had in mind. The idea of having an unknown number of Carisian letters addressed to me, and quite possibly to Your Majesty, floating around the kingdom didn't appeal to me. And frankly, the thought that the letter sender might attempt to reach you through a different channel, one which could end up bringing all of this to the Inquisition's notice after all, was even less appealing.